All right, my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, Allison. I was at one of the first AA meetings she went to at the park. She had her doggies and her kids, and she's amazing.
All right. Yeah.
Amazing, but I don't. That's cool. I like that. Allison, alcoholic.
Allison.
Okay, so full 30 minutes. Warm up. Okay. It's different. So this really different. I don't like this. I don't like it. Okay. Yeah, play musical chairs a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so I've been sober a little over 4 years. I don't really know how long I spent of my life drinking. Alcohol kind of consumed my childhood, family, life. My parents were alcoholics, but I didn't really know that until I don't really know how old I was. So I don't really know how old I was when it grabbed a hold of my family. For as long as I can remember, I just felt weird. Like when I was in preschool, like my mom would drop me off and I'd like freak out so bad that I'd have to stand like at the window of like the preschool people's window and just cry, like, because she was leaving me. Does anybody care if I like say bad words?
No.
Okay.
Your kids, your.
Yeah, that's all right. She knows I cuss.
All right.
So like by kindergarten, I mean, I was completely terrified of life. First grade, second grade, third grade. I mean, it just carried on. It took me. Like, I didn't start to warm up in elementary school, maybe till like fifth grade. That's when I started to feel okay. Like, I knew the people I was around, it was consistent. And so then by junior high, it was like a total setback. Everything was terrifying again. That's when I like kind of started ditching school, but like my mom let me, so it was okay, I thought. I got suspended in junior high. My brother and our neighborhood friends, the janitor at the elementary school by my house was there cleaning. We noticed he left the teacher's lounge unlocked, so we kind of helped ourselves in, raided the kitchen. Yeah, like someone peed on the printer, and they had like a little teacher's jar, like kind of like a Seven Tradition, you know, and they like put money in it, collect money for snacks and stuff. And one of the kids stole like the money inside of it. It was only like $5. And then our idea of vandalizing, we took the chocolate syrup from the fridge and just put it all over the place. I mean, it was cool. But then one kid went home and decided to tell his mom. And of course, nobody else got in trouble besides me and my brother and the kid who peed on the printer. But so that was like my mom, she decided she no longer trusted me, which I thought was weird because I didn't really find a reason to trust my parents either. So then junior high, never got used to anything, hated it, went on to high school. I asked to go to St. Joe's because I was terrified of going into a place where there was even more people. And I knew one person at St. Joe's, our family friends. So that's where I went and had a few friends. Took me a couple years to finally get used to my surroundings. And that was about the same time when I had a friend. She got invited to a party. And then she took me and my other best friend. And that's where it began. That's when, like, things started to make sense and feel better. I mean, it was like, I was all in from the first time, like, I drank. I don't know what I drank, but it was one of the first times. And we were at my friend's house. I just remember spending most of the night in her spare bedroom. And it had a bathroom. And, like, I was so, I could not, like, move out of that bedroom. And, like, yeah, I blacked out. I don't know why it's weird to say that in front of a bunch of alcoholics. I'm not even gonna lie. I feel really weird that it's mostly just men here. because a lot of, like, my story is, like, female stuff, you know? Like, never learning, how to say no to a dude. I watched my mom have no choice in anything. So I kind of thought power came with just letting guys do whatever, you know? And so, like, I started resenting my dad from, like, a really young age because I grew up protecting my mom from him, protecting my brother from them. So, I had to grow up before I even had a childhood. So about the same time I found alcohol, that's when I was realizing my parents were alcoholics. I don't really know why that didn't stop me, or it just, like, didn't make sense. So then, skipping ahead, whatever, I attempted to go to college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just did whatever my dad told me to do. And he told me to go to college, so I did. And I said, I don't know what I'm going for. He said, yeah, you can go do business. I said, okay, whatever. So it didn't really go so well. I didn't really go to class because it was too scary. I had a lot of anxiety, and I would just, like, sit around waiting for everybody in the dorms to start drinking, so that I could feel okay. And then I feel like that's just kind of typical. I feel like a lot of my life story is, like, typical, but I also kind of think that's just a coping mechanism I use to make me feel like everything was okay. So the first time I went home when I was in college, I had to ride the train. I went to San Diego, and I rode the train. My parents left my car at the train station. I drove home. My dad was asleep. It was like 11 something. My mom was awake outside where she would smoke her cigarettes. And I remember going out to, like, see her. And she was drunk. But I remember her telling me that she was afraid of me and my brother leaving home because she didn't think my dad would love her still. A couple months later, she was in the hospital and she never came out. So I thought it was my fault because she said she was afraid of me leaving. And I spent my whole life taking care of her, making sure she was okay. From a little, like, I don't know how old I was, I just always had this fear I was going to find her dead. I don't really know why. She went into the hospital, like, New Year's of when I was 18, the first year out of high school. And survived a little bit for a couple months. She made it off out of the ICU, like, once for maybe, like, a week. I spent that time, my dad, my brother, and I, we just full-on, like, drank, smoked weed. My brother, I had always told him, if you're ever gonna, you know, decide to smoke or drink or whatever, come to me, because, like, I'ma show you how to do it, you know? I'ma take care of you. I'ma protect you, you know? And he did. Like, for a long time, I was honored about that. the fact that, you know, he's an NA now, good for him. You know, like, I'm glad. But, I don't know. I don't blame myself for his addiction, but that's just what we did. And ultimately, my dad, like, 2 weeks after I turned 19, my dad and I had to decide to turn all the monitors off, you know, let my mom pass on. And there I was then taking care of my dad and my brother. And that was the first time maybe like the second time, I guess, where part of my desire for control, I guess, of life, of something, I decided I was going to stop eating. And so for about like 10 years, I didn't eat really. Not 10, maybe like 6 years, till I got pregnant with my older daughter. I didn't really eat. I was like 95 pounds and then like 100 when I got pregnant with my daughter. But so for those years, I just would run away from home. I wasn't a kid, but I felt like I was a burden to everybody and everything. So once my dad and my brother latched on to like other females, I was like, okay, they don't need me anymore. So I just started leaving. And I was like in high school also when I turned to cutting myself to like find relief also. I'm one of those people who think like, okay, emotional pain is too much, so physical pain must be better. It's kind of sad, but I still kind of believe that. So for a lot of years, I drank, smoked weed. I didn't really start doing drugs till after I went to rehab the first time and realized, oh shit, there's more out here than just weed and alcohol. I would drink, smoke, try and kill myself. And it didn't really seem like anybody cared. Oh, starve myself too. That, can't forget that. I remember trying to tell my dad one time, and he was just like, well, you're just naturally thin. Like, there's no problem. It's like, okay. So I didn't think it was a problem. I found my older daughter's dad. I went to visit some of my mom's family in Victorville. They live in Victorville. My cousin, my favorite cousin, we were always close when I would get to see them. My parents kind of exiled themselves away from their families because of their childhoods, whatever they wanted to, were trying to escape from. I went to go see my mom's family, and then I kind of stopped doing that because my grandma and my uncle, they would tell me that it's too hard to look at me because I look like my mom. So I was like, okay, well, I don't belong here either. I haven't seen them in, I don't know, almost like 11 years since I left Victorville when I got pregnant with my older daughter. So I met her dad at a 7-Eleven, like midnight, with my cousin. I don't know why we were out at 7-Eleven at midnight. He was a dope dealer. So it kind of, I thought like, oh, this will be cool. Like, he'll give me pills. Nope, he realized I had a problem and said no. But that was like the first time I was never like a fighter, except for like with my brother. But that was the first time where things were like so bad, I actually tried to fight a dude. And it didn't really work out. And I honestly, like, I didn't even drink that much, like, when I was with him. Like, I smoked a lot of weed, but that was about it. And, it was the whole, like, things would be so bad, and so when they got really bad, the way I would stop it is, so I no longer cut myself, then I switched to burning myself. So that's what I would do to get, like, the fighting to stop. That's what I would do. One time, I, like, drank as much of a bottle of Advil as I could. Oh, I can't take Advil still to this day. I didn't really know you could overdose on, like, Advil and all that stuff. But it was scary. That was, like, so when I got pregnant with my older daughter, Ava, most of you know who she is. She's at gymnastics right now. It was a result of me not having a choice. I wanted to say no, but couldn't. Didn't matter how many times I said no, it just... whatever. That was when I decided, like, okay, I'm done living the way I was living. I had gone back to drinking. I don't really know why I thought I had to hide it. Like, as if he didn't know I was drinking. It just was fun, I guess. Like, to hide something? I don't know. I still don't know. And one time we were fighting. And it was on my birthday. It was on my birthday when I found out I was pregnant. There was one time we were fighting. And he, like, pushed me away from him with his foot on my stomach. And I wasn't, like, super pregnant yet, but, like, it's still, it happened. And it's still a memory. And at some point after that, too, I decided to grab one of those X-Acto knives, like, on the little stick, and just fucking start stabbing my leg. That was the first time I ever seen blood squirt like that. Not long after that, I remember I called my dad and I was like, okay, I'm ready to come home. And, like a month later, he moved me back home to the condo I live in now. And, I did change my life a little bit. I stayed sober for the most part. Maybe like a couple weeks I drank and was like, nah, this doesn't really work anymore. And then I thought everything was good, like the bills were paid and everything for the most part. And her and I were happy. Like, the dude was no longer in the picture. He did some bullshit. It really doesn't matter. I was working since, like, Ava was 5 months old. Up until 2019, the place I worked at, the factory, they shut down, but I stayed there, like, the whole time until they shut down. And, during that time, I met Adelina's dad, and, he was actually, like, nice. He went to prison, like, over here in Lompoc. He was not here legally, so from prison they took him straight to Mexico, and that's where I got pregnant with Adelina. That's probably, like, the first dude that I, like, never had beef with. Like, the only reason he's not, like, in her life is because he's just literally not allowed to come back. So then, I went back to work when she was a couple months old, and, still everything was okay. I've got a lot of mental health issues, from a little age. So I wasn't, like, on any medication or whatever, and it just got too hard. I needed to sleep because I needed to work, That's kind of, I don't really know if there's anything else that played a part in me picking up the drink again, but that's what I've convinced myself this whole time, is I just needed some sleep. But ultimately, I started drinking and smoking again when she was like 4 months old. And it started like every weekend, just beer. I thought, okay, this is all right. I can do this. And then couple times a week, and then it became like every day, and there was a routine. We'd get up in the morning, I'd take them to daycare, I'd go to work, I'd work like 12:30 to 9:30 at night, and they went to daycare down here, so I would get off, I'd stop at the 7-Eleven over on Blosser and get beer, because beer, that was all right. I thought it was better. I didn't think there was ever going to be a problem. And then COVID hit. The company I worked for shut down. I decided to go back to school and get a degree. And I quit drinking at like the start of 2020. Lasted like 3 months. And then it was like really bad. Then my excuse would be like, okay, well, if I take the dog to the dog park, then I can go home and drink. And so I'd go to the Rite Aid all the time, right on McCoy, the corner there. Still, I didn't think there was a problem. Actually, no, I knew there was a problem, but I thought that, like, I just kept saying that, okay, well, tomorrow, you know, I'll stop tomorrow. I'm gonna just do this. I'm gonna just drink these beers. I'm gonna clean my house. Tomorrow, everything will be good. And it just kept going on that way. And but I thought I was doing better. You know, like they say the disease progresses, but I thought it hadn't because I was only drinking beer. I thought I was managing my life. I really wasn't. The main thing that comes to my head is like, so I thought if I went into Rite Aid by myself without my kids, then it meant I wasn't an alcoholic. I don't have my kids with me. I'm just buying beer alone. I'm not an alcoholic. It's fucking stupid ass thinking. But like, you know, like that's part of the unmanageability. Like, where did I come up with some of these ideas? So then I would just like look in the mirror and I would see my parents looking back at me. And it was like my brother and I, we swore we were not going to be them. This is not what we were going to do. My brother had already gone clean, but that was our goal in life, is to not continue the cycle. And there I was continuing it. I came across someone in AA at the dog park. I was wearing an NA sweatshirt. And they're like, oh, so you know Bill and Bob. I was like, well, I do. Like, but so then when I reached that point, I texted them. I'm like, so you go to AA, right? And they're like, yeah, do you need to go to a meeting? And I said, yeah. And that was the park meeting. And I think like the second day I was there, I met my sponsor. Yeah, it took all the balls I had to ask her to be my sponsor. And she said no. She said she couldn't because her own mental health was kind of fucked at that point. What time did I start at? Like 10, 20? Yeah. Okay.
Six more minutes.
30 more minutes.
Not what you want.
I'm like, it was okay. Yeah, six, 7 more minutes. Okay. And so I met her and she had what I wanted. And so she's like, well, I'll help you find a sponsor. So we did that for a minute. And ultimately, I mean, she didn't realize that she was actually sponsoring me the whole time. I had chosen another sponsor. It didn't work out. And so she's like, okay, well, we'll start going through the steps. I was like, okay. And so we did. Just started following her around like a fucking puppy dog. And I always say that, but it's true. I still do that. Like, over 4 years later, I go where she tells me to go. I do what she tells me to do. And then one day, it was like a meeting. I don't know what the topic was. And she texted me later, and she's like, so, I don't really know if I'm your sponsor or not, but I'm ready to make that commitment. And, like, I'm ready to do that. And I was just like, finally. Like, she finally sees it. And, I guess that's when I officially got a sponsor. So I had already been working the steps. I had already made a decision. I knew I was an alcoholic, like, when I was in high school, technically, I guess. And, and I still remember, the last day I drank. It was scary. That was, like, kind of the only time I've ever really been scared. Because I had two little kids, and that was like, I mean, it, It was way worse than ever. No matter what I was drinking, how often, how I was getting it, whatever. Like, that's how it was worse. It's because I had two little girls that meant more to me than anything in the world. Like, I always say my older daughter saved my life. Because otherwise, I was just living to die. I was just waiting to die. And so I remember I decided, okay, well, I guess I got to actually look these people in the face and realize, like, okay, they used to be all screwed up, and somehow there's sitting here decades later. And so I was like, okay, so there must be power greater than myself. And so I set out one night, the kids and I bundled up in January 4 years ago and went to the beach. And I decided, okay, I'm finding a higher power. This is where I'm going to do it. And it was really freeing. It was like refreshing. And like, since it was like an actual experience for me, like I made an experience out of it, I can go back and I can redo that anytime I want. Like, it's not just a one-time thing. So the third step is probably like my favorite. I memorized the prayer like I was told. And I was just sharing it in a meeting the other day. It was on the third step. I still have the memory, the vision so clearly in my head of doing it with my sponsor. We got down in the grass at the park meeting after it, said the third step. And I still remember her being like, oh, wow, you know the whole thing. I'm like, you told me to memorize it. She said, yeah, but I didn't really think, like, no one's actually ever memorized it before. I was like, okay. I mean, to me, that's like, well, how bad do you want it? Like, and so, like, step four, scary. Actually, it wasn't that scary. Like, once I started doing it, I was like, what was I so afraid of? I remember doing it and thinking, I didn't do this good enough. So, like, we were doing the step five, you know, and then my sponsor was like, okay, well, are you ready to have all these defects of character removed? I was like, okay, yeah. I didn't really know what it meant. I was just like, sure. I didn't know what defects of character really were. Like, we went through them, you know, she had a whole printout paper of a bunch, and I was like, okay. And so we did the seventh step prayer, and then where I was ready to move on. And so then she had me, you know, we started going through step eight, making that list, whatever. And the main person on there was my dad and my stepmom. And that was like the biggest amends I made. And regardless of how I fucking feel about my dad, like, I love him, I do. But I also, like, life was shitty. But like that, he's that way because of whatever, however he grew up. And so I can't hold that against him because we do the best we can with what we know. Then my brother is another one. Like, my brother and I now, we don't talk a lot, but when we see each other, it's like, that's what I wanted, you know? It's what we wanted, like, all along. And then from there, I just continue. And I can't say that, like, I mean, it's not like life is easy or anything. I'm gonna just share real quick. So obviously, like, I'm in a new relationship. I'm learning what a fucking healthy relationship is supposed to look like. And it's not easy, because I still go on to those old triggers and those old behaviors because it's what I knew. And there's been times where it pops up like, well, if I don't want to feel this way, I'll just go hurt myself. Like, nothing on him, and it has nothing to do with him. But in my head, I'm like, well, the way I solve this problem is I go burn myself. And, I've talked to Georgia. She's the only one I've talked to about that. You know, having to identify the cause of that. And Like, I'm not even going to say, like, my eating disorders have, like, vanished either. Like, I still try and fucking starve myself. And it doesn't work. And it makes me mad, you know? But it's like these problems haven't just gone away from my life. As much as I wish they would. But, you know, and, like, this mental health shit is coming back up now because I've had to, like, go off medications and stuff. And it was like I was just starting to feel okay with myself and accept who I am, like, as a person. And now here we go, backtracking all sorts of directions. And this is the shit that drove me back to drinking and smoking in the first place. So it's honestly, like, kind of scary. But I just keep, like, following the same routine that I have been for 4 years. And I'm terrified of changing it. Because if I change anything now, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have what it takes. I wouldn't. So I just, like, I say the third step prayer all the time. I said it all day long so I didn't have to think about what I was doing here. Maybe I should have thought about it, but thanks, Victor. Not really thankful because I hated this, but maybe I'll appreciate it in like a week.
Thank you.
You gotta follow that. That was amazing. Yeah.